Joining us now, my friend Juan Williams, Fox News contributor, journalist, political analyst, and interesting day to have Juan on, of course, the back and forth with John Lewis and Martin Luther King Day. A lot to think about as we move forward. Juan, happy New Year and happy MLK Jr. Day.
Well, Laura, hello, my fellow Christian. I love your cross, by the way. That's one of my favorite pieces of jewelry in all of America.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So tell us where we'll put the Obama story to bed first. Like, he's giving a lot of final interviews, and he gave an interview to 60 Minutes, and he said what he failed in on occasion was he lost the PR war on some key issues. What were your thoughts on that?
I think he's right. He took some responsibility, and I think from your perspective, that was a welcome change of presentation from President Obama. I was just listening to what you said about how, in fact, he had zero Republican support on Obamacare and limited or negligible support on the stimulus package. And in that case, in both cases, I think he did not do a good job of selling what he was doing to the American people. So if you think about Obamacare, and I think the opposition among Republicans is in like the high 80% range, Laura, you know, if you ask people about specific segments of it, even now as we look at the possibility of replacement, people say, yeah, I like that part. Yeah, that works. Yeah, we should do that. In fact, I think it's in the 60% polling numbers who say we should take care of our seniors in terms of their health care needs and the like, and the very poor. But you would never know it, because if you ask people about Obamacare, I think it's still 49% of plurality say repeal it, just get rid of it. I think it's 47% support, so it's become more divided. But for most of the life of the program, the opposition has left.
Yeah, but Juan, you're not saying it's just PR. You can't say. You're too smart to think it's just PR. I mean, there were substantive problems with the skyrocketing premiums, the out-of-pocket costs, the doctors retiring because of the electronic medical records complications and complexities. I mean, my point on referencing the PR comment is I think for the most part Obama's really good at PR. I think the problem is in the policies, the substantive nuggets of these policies that just don't work. And
well, here, let me come back at you, because if you listen to what President-elect Trump and the Republican majority in both the House and the Senate are talking about, they're talking about big stimulus spending. They say infrastructure packages. I think that right now, if we had a third term of Barack Obama, he couldn't even get close to the idea of a stimulus or infrastructure spending program, because Republicans would oppose it as big government run wild. I think Donald Trump will have success and Republican backing on the very same substance.
Well, I think in the end, right now, 8 years after he was inaugurated, the country is, would you say, more divided along issues of race or less divided?
Oh, my gosh. I think, you know, it's interesting that you raised this on King's birthday, because I saw that in a recent interview. Well, it wasn't an interview. It was the speech, the farewell speech that the president gave last Tuesday. He said, if you look back 20 or 30 years, there's no question the country's in a better place on race relations. And I thought, yeah, I guess I would agree with that. I don't think there's any question my dad could not have been publishing books, could not be on national television as I'm on Fox.
20 years ago they couldn't have been? I disagree with that. I mean, I was on TV 20 years ago.
I think it's less, well, I certainly know that in his lifetime, you know, if he was standing on a street corner in 1960, so 30 years ago would have been 1980 or so, and I don't know. But I also think it's the case that today we are more highly polarized around racial issues in terms of, and I notice this is very telling, white America says race relations are worse in big numbers. And I think much of the feeling for that is the tremendous rate at which the demographics of the country are shifting, and people say, oh, that's identity politics, especially after President-elect Trump's election, has really gone in the tank with a lot of Democrats who say, we got to stop this identity politics stuff.
Well, again, I'm trying to understand how today, when we have all these congressmen, I guess 26 maybe congressmen, who say they're not going to the inauguration, when we had Trump just badgered about whether he would accept the outcome of the election by media types and even asked at the debate. And I mean, this went on and on about whether Trump was going to accept a Hillary victory because everybody thought Hillary was going to win. And now we have
exactly
all these
right.
We have all these Democrats saying we're not going. To me, that's poisonous to say you're not going to go.
I couldn't agree more, by the way. Let me just start off on a point of agreement. I agree with you. I think that Donald Trump is going to be the commander-in-chief of our military. He's going to be the chief executive of the government. To me, you are locked into anger and dysfunction if you can't acknowledge reality and start to deal with reality and, in fact, try to shape reality going forward, build relationships. And I would also, because I'm talking to Laura Ingraham, I would say this, that you got to be a patriot. You got to be acknowledging that the peaceful transfer of power is worthy of your celebration. It's what makes us as Americans special. So I don't have any question there. But to get to a point where I disagree with you, Laura, on this King Day, I see a lot of that opposition coming from the minority community, specifically the black community. A lot of the black Congress people saying, you know what, we can't take it. The FBI interference, the Russian interference, the popular vote, all that. And I think, you know what, this is not workable. This, in fact, I think, worsens race relations because now politics get involved with it. And I think they, you know, Trump has said some outrageous things, and he continues to tweet on things I don't think he should be doing, but that's his style and it works for him. But I think that this does, in fact, make it more difficult to talk across racial lines when you see such tremendous support for Trump in the white community and almost none in the black or Latino community.
Well, yeah, he did slightly better among African Americans and Latinos, I think a couple of percentage points in both communities, despite the media drumbeat against him.
Compared to Romney and McCain, but not as compared to George W.
Yeah, well, George W. also went out of office with a 34 or 36% approval rating. I mean, so...
But I'm saying when he ran, when he won.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see. I mean, the bottom line is if Trump helps the economy get better, I think a lot of this stuff dissipates. I mean, I'm not saying the Democrats aren't going to still try to do what they're going to do. Obviously, they want to get back in power. But if the economy starts doing better and Donald Trump really aggressively works to make life in the inner city better for people who want to work and want to improve their lives, have better education, then what does the left say then?
God bless him. That's what I would say, because that would be so tremendous. I mean, for all the criticism I have for Donald Trump, when he talks about the murders in Chicago, I say thank you. Thank you, national leader, for acknowledging the death of these young black people killing each other for the most part, but that it's death, and we don't want it, and we as a country should have some response to it. When he appoints Betsy DeVos to education, a big school choice supporter, I say thank you, Donald Trump, because we need a disruptive element in terms of education, again, primarily in big cities, but across the nation, across all race lines, we need improvement in our public school education, and I'm all for it. So if you talk about the economy getting better, I would guess that it would a rising tide lift all boats. And if that's the case, God bless Donald Trump. But I must tell you, again, I know you're going to disagree with me, Laura, but we've had steady, slow recovery. People don't bless Barack Obama. They don't say thanks, Obama. Or if they say thanks, Obama, they mean it very cynically for keeping us from going into a depression when we were on the brink of that with a terrible recession back in 08, 09.
Well, it's been the slowest recovery
right.
in the history of American recoveries, and it's created certainly not the jobs, the good paying jobs at the pace that have been created in past recessions, such as of course in 1980 to 1984, where job creation was just skyrocketing. So
I think we were in a deep hole, but I hear your point because it's been 8 years. I understand that frustration. But my point to you was simply, in much the way that I root for America, I root for Donald Trump's presidency. I hope that if he can do good things, it's not only black people who will have to stop and say thank you, but I think America will be like, yeah, you know what? For all the fear and, you know, anxiety around electing someone who didn't have experience, who came in with a new kind of media profile, it's worked. Wouldn't that be good news?
Yeah, it would be great. And I think that, you know, I remember when Barack Obama was inaugurated and I said, we wish him the absolute best for this country. It'd be great if people could come together and say, look, we've tried to go back into our corners on issues like healthcare or crime, and everybody goes to their political corners. Maybe we need someone who's not a traditional Republican and not a traditional Democrat to say, let's try it a different way. And I hope he gets Democrats to work with him on some of these key issues. I really do, because I know a lot of Republicans won't work with him on certain issues. I bet they won't. So I hope he's able to get some of them together.
Point, because I was listening to what he had to say about reform of health care, and I thought, there's going to be some daylight. But it's interesting.
Yeah, and I hope for the minority community that I think has been poorly served by overwhelmingly supporting just one party election after election. He didn't say it all that artfully, but like, what the hell do you have to lose? I mean, give him a little opportunity or a chance. And I think if he has half a chance to enact some common sense reforms, I think improvements we will see in all these areas.
Well, I'm rooting for you on that front. And again, this is something I think all Americans should be rooting for. Why would anybody root against the USA?
So what would you tell John Lewis and Elijah Cummings and these folks who aren't probably going to show up at inauguration? What would you tell them today?
I would tell them that, you know what, the idea of social progress, the idea of the state of Black America in terms of the tremendous civil rights movement would not have been possible in any other country. That we in America do still celebrate the Founding Fathers' creed, every man created equal. We have not reached that point of perfection, but we aspire to it. We work at it. It's possible in this country, and we should celebrate America, celebrate the peaceful transfer of power on Inauguration Day, and look to work to make America be America for all its people. Even as you have points of political difference, let's stay American first.
And I hope Trump reaches out to Lewis. I bet he will. I'm hoping some healing takes place here. Maybe that's being too hopeful. Juan, it's always great to talk to you. Juan Williams from Fox News, writer, thinker, analyst on all of these things, and best-selling author, I have to add that, of course. Juan, thanks so much, and hope you have a great day.
Thank you, Laura.
All right, we'll take a break. Don't go away. Close out this hour. A lot more to get to on your healthy radio addiction.
The Laura Ingraham Show.